Not ready? Too bad. Head back, face forward, and hold on like you mean it.
Hello and welcome to Review Time's Theme Podcast. This is a fortnightly show where we discuss all the ins and outs of attractions and parks from around the world. My name is Luke and I will be your host today. Yes, we are back. After a few weeks off due to an overseas trip I just got back from. But we don't have time to talk about that, because instead, it's the moment you've all been waiting for. Review Time is finally going on an overseas theme park trip together. But I'm not doing that theme park trip alone. Joining me is the man who will soon experience the world's best theme park offering, Poseidon's Fury. And for once, this intro isn't a joke. It's my Review Time co-host, Dominic Lacey.
See, my problem is that you've been talking this up so much that what if it's bad? What if I come out and like, Luke, I have to be real with you. I didn't like that.
It's so bad that it's good. It's like the theme park equivalent of what did I just experience? But then it also has two of the most incredible theme park moments of all time just weaved into it. Like, it's
okay.
Yeah. So the story.
I'm interested to see what it is.
Get hyped, get excited. But that should tell you what at least part of our trip's going to be. But in no particular order, the trip is kind of split into three different sections. I think we have like 15 different theme park reviews that will come from this trip or something around that number.
We've got about 15 different theme parks and we have 15 days. To put that into perspective, there is not a single day on this trip where we are not doing a park because the review time for us is, for an extension, is our job. So we kind of have to make the most of the money that we're spending. We can't like take it at a leisurely pace. If we're flying overseas, especially from Australia, where it already costs like $3,000 just to get somewhere, then we kind of need to have a good return on investment. But this trip should give us enough reviews for like a year.
Yeah. So I just counted. We're doing 15 different theme parks. That's not counting days that we spend at, you know, multiple days at the same theme park. And I believe from that we'll get 13 different reviews.
Wow.
So, yeah. Get ready. That's a year of reviews essentially at one a month, which is, you
we're
know,
the, doing it. We're finally back to being review
the
time.
The whole reason we started. But as I was saying, no particular order. The trip is split into three sections. We're going to talk about all of those. We've got the Orlando section, which you might be surprised to learn what we are and aren't doing. We then have a section. It's official. We've often talked about the Review Time road trip, which is a road trip we would take around the USA. And part of this trip is kind of a mini version of that Review Time road trip. We have essentially a week where we're driving between an hour and 3 hours a day to get to new theme parks that neither of us have ever experienced before.
It's a very interesting trip in the sense that we're getting a real taste of the United States without kind of experience in the United States. We're experiencing all of that culture through just simply theme parks.
Yeah, so I've been lucky to go to a lot of states in the US, but there's going to be like two or three new states that I go to along this trip that I've never been to before. And the only thing I'll be doing in those states is A, driving, and B, going to theme parks.
Pretty much. That's we'll say in just before this show, we've just started wrapping up things like booking all of our hotels and booking our cars and our flights and that, because it is a very strict, regimented trip. And I do worry about the prospect of doing something like this, especially post-COVID, because anything can happen. Flights are no longer very reliable. Hotels just up and disappear. Everything's just insane. So I'll be interested to see if it goes through without a flaw. But it's interesting for me because we were saying like we are driving through places like Washington, D.C. Mm. We are going to theme parks where we will be overlooking places like Manhattan, New York, and just going through states. Like I think we literally just go through Maryland and keep on going. We don't even stop. And it's going
to
be that interesting thing for us.
We'll have to stop at a rest stop just to say we, you know, went to the bathroom.
at Maryland.
Exactly.
That's all we did.
We're going to Georgia. We're going to Georgia for an hour.
And we're not leaving the airport. Over. Which I think a lot of people have probably been to Atlanta and never left the airport, being the, you know, the busiest airport. And then the third part of this trip will be what I call Disneyland days. We've reviewed Disneyland. We've reviewed Disney California Adventure. That's kind of our downtime for the trip.
Yeah.
We're just going to have fun. There is some trips along that part we'll talk about in a bit that we are going to review. But we're just going to take that as a reward for surviving the last 2 years. But it says a lot that our reward, in inverted commas, is just a different theme park.
Look, I have not been to a proper theme park in now, I think it's edging on about 3.5 years.
Yeah, the start of 2019.
So early 2019.
By the time we get to this trip, which is coming up in July, so we're only a few months away. So as pre heads up, there may be another point where we don't have a podcast for a couple of weeks, but it will be because we're overseas in theme parks, practically, yeah, physically. But it will give us a ton to talk about when we get back as well. But let's jump into this, a little bit more of the specifics. As we were saying, we're going to just talk about the parks, no particular order. But we got to start. I've already teased part of this trip at the intro, which is we're going back to Orlando. We've only got 4 or 5 days in Orlando, I think.
Yeah.
So it's essentially...
It's a short trip here. But we're going to be doing a couple of things a little bit differently to what you think when people go to Orlando. Now, when people say, I'm going to Orlando, the first thing you think is they're going to Walt Disney World. We are not stepping foot on Walt Disney World property, except for maybe Disney Springs. Because we did our Disney World reviews and a little bit of insight. They did woefully. And we sat down and we talked about this and we're like, why did they do so bad? And the realization we came to is people don't watch reviews of a Disney park. Like, you don't... Go
well,
to
the
Magic
American
Kingdom.
American ones.
Yeah.
Except for some reason, Disney California Adventure. That one.
I think
well.
So. I have a theory behind that, which I'll come back to. But things like, if you're going to Walt Disney World, you're already going. No review is going to change your mind. If you decide we are going at this time, rain, sunshine, whatever, you're going. Genie Plus, no Genie Plus. So we came to that realization when we released those. Like, I think our best videos ended up being like Epcot and Animal Kingdom, mainly because those were the parks that people didn't know too much about. So maybe they're better suited for something like a overview, just to be like, hey, this is what to expect. But as a proper review, they just didn't work. So our idea behind this is we were thinking when we go to Orlando, let's look at all of the parks around Disney for when people might have a day or two where they've got some time to spare. They just want to get outside of the Disney bubble. They don't want to be encapsulated in that 24/7. So what if they go to Busch Gardens or Universal Studios or something like that? And that's where we're like, hey, this is a good opportunity for us to review these. Not SeaWorld, mainly because it's a point of contention.
Yeah. So we've got, as we were saying, 5 days. I think it works out here in Orlando. We're finally going to be doing Universal Studios Orlando and Universal Islands of Adventure reviews, which we surprisingly have never done, even though Islands of Adventure is my favorite theme park in Orlando. Better than any Disney park.
I was surprised that we didn't have a review of this. I thought that we had one. Then I was looking. I'm like, oh, we don't.
The weird thing is I've spent a lot of time in these parks when I lived there in 2015. But we haven't really been to them in a way to get enough footage since. And I don't, like, we didn't want to do a review where we didn't film most of the footage ourselves.
Yeah, we've also been trying to do this thing where, especially moving forward, we want both people to be wherever we review because one of the problems that comes about is you only get one side of the coin then. Like, let's say you go to Dollywood, which you recently went to Dollywood, and you're like, it was spectacular. And then I go a year later, I'm like, I didn't like it. The good thing about our dynamic is we're very similar, but we also challenge each other's views. Mm-hmm. So it provides, I feel, a more, not a better review, but a richer review.
A fairer review as well. Like, if one person sees one thing and not the other, which I think will be a good thing with Universal, comparing fresh eyes to battle-hardened eyes, you know, people, someone who's been a lot and seen the changes over the years compared to somebody who's brand new. But this will be your first time to Universal Orlando Resort. What are you most looking forward to?
I am... It's hard to say. There are a couple of things that really stand out to me. Like, I've currently been a part of a Harry Potter parody show. And with that, I've gotten very into the wizarding world. And I'm kind of excited just to go and kind of get stuff like the wand and all of that, just to try and get more back into my Harry Potter side of things. I'm a Hufflepuff, so I kind of want more Hufflepuff merchandise as well. But then outside of that, there are things that I've never got to experience, like the Men in Black shooty ride. Yeah, this sort of goes to show the extent of my knowledge is
Men
I don't know
Black
many
alien
things.
Attack,
yeah,
which I would argue is one of the best shooter rides in the world.
Yeah, that's
it's
like
all practical.
Looking
there's
at
no
it,
screens, there's no, you know.
I'm super keen for that. Then also things like Velocicoaster, doing things, Jurassic Park Adventure. You've got all of this stuff that's just the Universal staples. Then some sort of stuff that I've heard interesting things about, like the King Kong attraction and that. Just to sort of be in that. Every single theme park we're going to in the US, I've either never been to or haven't been to in the last decade. So say, for example, Disneyland. The last time I was there was back in 2008. So that was when DCA was in its first iteration. Things like Orlando, we're going to parks I've never been to before. And then when we go up to the northeast. The northeastern side of the United States. There are theme parks that neither of us have been to before.
Well,
and we're not
really
going to anywhere
that much about either.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to sort of get this new perspective of American theme parks. I think I've become, and I'll be brutally honest in saying this, I've become very jaded towards American theme parks, mostly because of what I'm hearing is coming out of Walt Disney World and what Disney is doing with things like Genie Plus and all of that. And I think as I'm starting to look at the parks we're going to, I'm realizing that I kind of unfairly put everything within that Disney bubble. And Disney is not responsible for what Universal or Busch Gardens or Legoland or Kennywood or anything like that. So I'm interested. I'm really interested to see this trip come to fruition. You only just recently came back from Orlando.
I did a quick, even about the same length stop in Orlando on my recent trip just to see some friends there because I hadn't been back since 2015. Similarly, I only did Universal. I didn't go to Disney. I did go to Disney Springs, but that was it. Just
absolutely
to meet up with some friends for dinner.
Barbaric of you.
I know, crazy. We had Blaze Pizza, and then we went and had a Coca-Cola cocktail on the roof at that like
Blaze
new Coke
pizza.
Store. So that, but literally, even on that trip, I walked through a lot of the Disney stores, like World of Disney and stuff like that, when I was there.
Yeah.
And I didn't buy anything.
Yeah.
It's there was kind all of the thing 50th where merch, if- there was all the, you know, and I was like, none of this takes my fancy. Yet I got a number of items from Busch Gardens. I got a number of items from Universal Orlando. So I don't know if that says a lot, but it says something.
The a couple of things that I need to quickly say, because otherwise you'll be very upsetty spaghetti with me, is I'm also very excited to experience the English version of Spider-Man the Ride. Because
the
you always go on about this. I'm really excited for it. I've experienced the Japanese version, but I was also
what I would say are the three best dark rides in the world, you've really only experienced one of them, which is Indiana Jones Adventure. On this trip, you'll get to experience the proper version of the other two, which is Rise of the Resistance and Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think we'll finish up with Disneyland because that will be a very quick talking point. But I will also get to experience things like Rise of the Resistance and all of the new Star Wars stuff. I am going to get a lightsaber and you will watch me because you already have one.
Then you get the joy of trying to get it back through TSA, which you can do. But I did it really early, like a month after Galaxy's Edge had opened, and I don't think hardly any of the TSA people knew what to do with it, because they kind of took it to another room for like 15 minutes and just looked at it, and then they brought it back and they're like, okay, here you go.
I feel like it would be easier to get it without the gigantic fluorescent tube that comes with it.
Oh, I tried to put that in my check. I'm just thinking about the logistics now. I was like, that, if you could get a check bag big enough to fit the saber part in, that would be fine.
Do you reckon you can do like what you do when you want to try and get a parcel really quickly across town? I'll just get an Uber from Los Angeles to Sydney. And then just get someone to put it in the back
someone
seat.
On the back
like,
of a jet ski. Yeah,
I take that. My Savi's fluorescent tube.
Go.
And I think we'll be good. It won't cost me that much. I'll just charge it to review time. It's fine.
But yeah, I think Universal, especially revisiting it recently, is such a great resort. Universal Studios Florida, the park is arguably not as good as it was when I was there in 2015. There's been some interesting choices. But you get to go on Harry Potter Escape from Gringotts, which is in that park.
Yes.
Which I think, I would say it's in it, like for just a singular ride, that is, in my opinion, I would actually like it better than Forbidden Journey. Not for the technology,
Luke,
just for the
you
the
like
story.
Like if somebody came in and amputated your foot, you'd be like, this is better than Forbidden Journey.
Yeah, true.
You will now have on your tombstone, I hate Forbidden Journey.
And now that Hagrid's motorbike creature's adventure through the Forbidden Forest, or whatever that ride's actually
3D
called.
3D The Ride.
Now that that's in that park, Harry Potter Forbidden Journey's even not as good as it was before, because Hagrid's is actually really good. And I know a lot of people won't agree, but in some ways, Hagrid's is better than Velocicoaster.
Yeah, I haven't experienced it yet.
So
I haven't experienced either of
those.
Choice.
So. We're gonna, when we get back, we've never done podcast episodes on either of these two parks, so I'm sure there'll be a lot to talk about. That's just what you're most excited for. But you didn't say Poseidon's Fury, so I'm canceling the whole trip.
No. I already said at the top of the episode. It got in before we even started talking about
these
things.
That's how important it is. But yeah, it's a great park, and Islands of Adventure and Universal Studios Florida, the fact that you treat them like one park because they have a transport ride that takes you between them, and even if that's not, you know, at the part of the park you're in, it's like a 10-minute walk. It is,
yeah.
Because of that, it's such a great thing, especially when you compare it to Disney, where you're looking at about an hour between any of the Walt Disney World parks, and park hopping's not really as good. But the other parts of that trip, like we were saying for the Orlando part, we're actually going to go to Busch Gardens Tampa, just because you want to really get on an RMC. And Busch Gardens Tampa, for that kind of, for me, it's the perfect mix of like a thrill park with an actual theme park. Like
you
it
will
kind of
hear
toes
me.
The line between the two.
You will hear me through this episode typing away, because I'm going onto Google Maps and looking at these parks from top down. That, like, a lot of these parks I'm not familiar with, and that's the thing I'm excited about, is because I'll just be doing these completely new things. And stuff like Busch Gardens, I am a big fan. I think I've talked about this on the park before. I love theme parks that just feel really natural. Like you're in this sort of magical world, and like you've still got your steel giant roller coasters, but you know, you think of your Animal Kingdoms and it's just covered in lush vegetation. You're surrounded by nature, but also you're surrounded by amusements. So something like Busch Gardens, which I've been looking into, look fantastic, as well as the attractions look insane. Things like Iron Gwazi, which I'm just realizing on Google Maps is called Lawn Gwazi.
Oh, my favorite. Lawn Gwazi, my favorite ride.
Things like Shikra and all of that. Falcon's Fury.
Yeah, this park probably has three of Orlando's best coasters in it. Like,
I'm keen. I'm really keen for this park.
Great. Like, it's insane. Shikra is a lot of fun. You've never done a dive coaster before, so this will be your first dive coaster. Cheetah Hunt, which has like multiple launch. It's like an Intamin multi-launch coaster.
Yes, I have seen this one.
Super
like,
fun.
Is really low to the ground as well.
Like, there is a great variety of coasters. You've also got two B&M, really intense classic B&M coasters in this park. Like, it's an incredibly well-rounded offering. And then it's also got just as many animals as Disney's Animal Kingdom. Like,
it's got, like, I'm looking at, there's a safari, there's a train.
There's a train. The train in the safari. I'm not kidding. So you think of, you know, Disney Animal Kingdom, you think, you know, of the safari, and the safari is cool. You're on like a truck. Now imagine instead of being on a truck, you're on a train, and there's no doors or anything. And so as when we last rode it, a zebra, I'm not kidding you, would have been like a meter away from me, and they had to stop the train because it looked as if the zebra was about to come onto the track. And it's incredible. The train goes through the savannah. There's also a like sky bucket type ride that goes over the savannah as well. So it's like, it's incredible in that way. We're going to struggle to do everything in a day. That's how big this park is. It's about a 40-minute walk from the front of the park to the back as well, to halfway. Yeah. So I'm excited for you to see this park. It's a great park. I've only been to it twice in my life. I kind of wish I went to it more times when I was living in Orlando, because it is such a great park, and it gets you away from the craziness that's Orlando.
Yeah. The thing, like, looking at the park, and what I'm just finding insane, I do highly recommend that if you're following this podcast, if you're in the car or something, it'd probably be better to hold off. And I think I say this every time, but
especially if you haven't been to these parks.
It's our safety label. If you haven't been to these parks or you don't know these parks, I do highly recommend holding off and listening to this episode. Just chuck it on pause here and then come back and like follow around with us, like Google the parks, look at them, because places like Busch Gardens, you don't hear too much about. Maybe you've heard stuff about Ayin Gwazi and stuff like that, but you look at it from above, you're like, oh yeah, there seems to be a lot of things to do. And then you zoom in and there's more. It just,
you just keep like finding more and more.
There's so much. There's, I'm looking here, attractions I've never even heard of, like Montu and Cobra's Curse, and heaps. There's
Montu's
so
very
much.
Intense. Don't do it in the morning on an empty stomach. Like, it'll wake you up, that's for sure. Cobra's Curse is, that was new to me. Even between 2015, when I last went, and when I just recently went, there was like five new coasters that I hadn't experienced before.
So
it's just...
I do have to ask, legally, are there any flying coasters at any of the parks that we're going to?
No, isn't that why we cut out the real reason we cut out SeaWorld Orlando?
I'm not going through that again. It'd probably be better. I've lost a lot of weight since then. I'd be interesting to see how it goes.
The one at SeaWorld Orlando is actually an identical copy to the one that killed you.
Like, okay, no.
To Acrobat.
I wouldn't even risk it.
Acrobat at, what was it, Nagashima Spa Land. But yeah, the biggest thing, and it'll be interesting to see from the review that we end up pulling for this park, because one of the big things to me is going to be, is it worth the trek from Orlando? Because this is a great park, for sure.
Yeah, true.
They do offer a free shuttle from Orlando area. I believe it picks up close to SeaWorld. So they offer a free shuttle, but it's still about an hour and a half, give or take, with traffic from Universal or Disney. So that would be interesting to see with your eyes as well. You know, we're going to be taking the shuttle to get that experience as someone, so we can, you know, go from the back and say, you know, this is the entry level way to get to Tampa. Take the shared shuttle.
Yeah.
Is it worth it? And then, you know, would it be more worth it if you hired a car? You know, is it worth it if you have your own car with you? Those sort of things will be interesting to see, because this park is quite a distance away from Orlando, especially when you compare that to SeaWorld, which is right between Disney and Universal, and even Disney and Universal are only about 20 minutes apart. But it'll be interesting. I like this park a lot. And another park for a similar reason that is quite a way away from Universal, and it's something we've never really looked at, which is Legoland Florida, which is going to be the last park of the Orlando part of this trip.
This used to be Cypress Gardens, didn't it?
Yes.
Way back in the day.
It's still kind of, from what I understand, it's still got the gardens as part of the Legoland Park. But we're mostly looking at this. I know Legoland parks aren't really designed for people like us, But as a review time, we want to look from, you know, every option in themed entertainment, especially if you've got a family. With the price that Disney's running at the moment, is it better to save a day and come down here and experience something completely different instead?
Yeah, so this is one that we probably... Like, I'd comfortably say both of us aren't as excited about this as we would be for something like Busch Gardens or Disneyland or something like that. But at the same time, it's a very valid point that you make that we need to be thinking from the perspective of if you've got a family and you're at Disney, things are chaotic. Like, we've been to Disney. Disney is a big, stressful time. Mm-hmm. That's why you want to go there for a long time. But at the same time, you may just want some time away. So if we go to Legoland and we have a good day, it's nice and peacefully quiet, then it's something that we can recommend to people as, look, just get away from the craziness of it all. Take the time to come down here. Similarly, we're going to be taking whatever sort of transport we can. We don't have a car at this point.
Yeah.
So that will be interesting as well. But looking at this park, the things I'm excited about are just the Lego aspects. I'm a big Lego fan.
Yeah.
Because I've never been to a Legoland except for the Melbourne Discovery Center. And the other thing as well is the history of this park, because it was Cypress Gardens, which started out with all of their jet ski and boat shows and all of that.
And I think they still have a version of a ski show. It's a more Lego-fied version now, but
I have an image in my head of a Lego man behind a jet ski, and I'm not sure if it's here, but I think it's here.
I'm pretty sure you're thinking of here, yeah.
And it looks really silly. So.
Oh, of course. I love, I've been to Legoland California back when I was younger, and I still have a vivid memory of the like mini land area, which is the, you know, famous locations in the world built out of Lego. So I'm excited to visit that here. You know, they've got I think 4 family coasters. I think it's gonna work out something silly, like my 150th coaster credit will be in this park, so we'll have to pick the dumbest one to make my 150. But yeah,
the steeplechase.
Yeah, I'm not like, I don't know that much about this park. I'm excited to visit it, and part of the reason I'm excited to visit is I don't know that much about this park. I love that feeling. Like, I'm a bit of a researcher, to be an understatement. I know I should almost stop myself from doing it, but I do way too much research into parks. It's just what I do. What I did when I went to Dollywood recently is we had a family friend who was with us. Just a friend, sorry, not a family friend, who was with us. And he had been before, which is awesome. He'd been a couple of times. And what I did was I essentially didn't really look into the park at all, apart from people that I talked to, you know, about it, who'd been and stuff like that. But I hadn't, you know, researched the map and got my game plan of what attractions I'm going to rush to first or any of that. And it was a great way to experience a park. And that park ended up becoming one of my favorite theme parks in the world. And a lot of that may have come down to the fact I didn't go in with these super heightened expectations of what the park was going to be, how I had to approach the park to have a good day. So I'm excited for, even though this isn't, you know, the top of my list of where I'm most excited to visit on this trip, for that reason that I know so little about this, that's one of the big reasons I'm excited to go.
I think it's worthwhile to try and not essentially do research in like, okay, this is what we're going to be doing on the hour, because it can get very easy to do that. And there are some parks where that's necessary. Cough, cough, Tokyo Disney. But for things like this, I think basically what you do is you find out what's there, whether there's anything that you should know
what
about.
Do I
like
need
if this
to
is.
Do?
Yeah, if it's a particularly busy park, then do I need to plan for certain things? Like, should I do something earlier? But beyond that, I think we sometimes fall into this trap of we know so much about a park that sometimes we don't actually get to experience it. You end up going to the park, but it's like, okay, I need to rush to this thing. So you go past stuff. And I think one of the best things about theme parks is that it's the adventure aspect.
The discovery,
it's finding new things. It's just walking around and being like, oh, this attraction looks cool. That's one of the things that I want to try and do, especially places like Busch Gardens and even just like going around, like there's still attractions in that park that I have no idea exist. There are still attractions at Universal that I have no idea. And even Disney at this point, despite all of the research I do on Disney, there will be things that I will get to Disneyland. And I have that vivid memory of when I was there back in 2008. And I'm going to have those moments of, oh, that's right, this attraction exists, or this new thing that I remember vaguely about. It'll be like learning a whole new park again. So I'm excited for that aspect.
I'll finish our talk of Legoland with my very important announcement. So if you...
Oh, no, no, no. I am ready. I was just going to say, okay. I think that sort of wraps up Orlando.
Except the real reason to go and get excited, yes. I didn't want to look too much about Legoland, as I was saying, but something caught my eye and I had to look it up a little bit. Get excited because there is a disco ride here. You know the disco, the big disc that goes up and down?
Yes.
Where you get to sit on a giant Lego horse.
I'm not going anywhere else.
I'm already just giving it 100 out of 100. Our first ever 100 out of 100.
Our first ever full score.
I don't even have to go. I know.
It's a family ride. 10 out of 10. It's a thrill ride because you get to sit on the horse. 10 out of 10. experience sitting on a Lego horse. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Entertainment. Very entertaining. 10 out of 10.
Which... Yeah, that's our Orlando part of the trip. I'm super excited. Everything's going to be new to you. Yep. I'm super excited to see what you think of Universal Studios Orlando Resort. We're splurging a little. We're staying on site for one of the days. We're going to be on one of the deluxe, so we'll be able to try out the Universal Express Pass. Because Universal Express Pass was... If we were to just buy the Express Pass, was $800 US, but a night accommodation that included the same amount of Express Pass was $600 US. So that makes sense because it's probably going to be busy. We're there in the summer, but that's Orlando. I'm excited for it. Excited to see what you think of it. But now from something that I know a lot about and you know not too much about, into somewhere that both of us know essentially nothing about. So we're not going to spend too much time on these parks because don't know that much about these parks. There would be some parks here where I could maybe name two rides in the park and that would be it.
Oh, there's some of them that I'm like, I know the name. The logo looks familiar. Wanted to do. We wanted to do something different because our original plan, and I think we talked about it on one of the podcasts earlier this year, we did want to go to Europe during this time. But unfortunately, just with the way the world is at the moment, demand from Australia massively spiked and the supply is just not there. So we were looking at flights today. If we were to book a flight going to Paris, it was going to cost us $7,000 Australian just to fly there and back. Mm. That's nothing else. And it's too much. It's too much money. So we made the decision then, okay, we're going to go to the US. Basically, it came down to being the cheapest international option for us. But we didn't want to just do stuff like the stuff that we know. We wanted to try and challenge ourselves to find parks that we don't know much about, parks that don't particularly get all that much love in terms of the international stage. Mm. So we're going to a lot of places, and I guess we can just go through them. This is sort of our road trip part of the trip.
Yeah. So
I was about to say field trip, but we're not 10.
To find this, we both just looked at parks. We looked at a number of online road trip recommendations for theme parks, and then just parks that we knew were around those areas as well, and kind of came up with some parks and a route to do those parks in.
It's a very eclectic mix.
It works out, I think, 6 days to do six parks?
Yeah, like once we do this and we're like, if we're like, yeah, this was a decent way to do things, then we might release sort of the specifics of our trip.
How and why,
We'll tell you where we're going. We're not going to sort of say in what order or how we're doing it. It might be easy to figure out, but
yeah,
it's just mostly because we're not yet at that point where we feel comfortable to give this recommendation as a trip.
Yeah.
Because we could do this.
But we'll talk
and be
about
like,
it when we get
oh,
back,
no.
for sure. But so we're going to essentially three different states. Is it? No, yeah, three states, six parks in those three states. The yeah. first state we're going to, well, not the first, it's just in no order. We're going to Jersey, which
yep.
you don't think of Jersey and theme parks, but there's two major theme parks kind of in different ends of the spectrum, I would say.
Yeah.
Really, we've got the world's largest, or sorry, the Western Hemisphere's largest indoor theme park,
hold
which
up,
is Nickelodeon.
Who says the Western Hemisphere?
This website that advertises Nickelodeon Universe, the park I'm talking about, they're the ones who say it, not me.
Oh, Nickelodeon.
It's a classic theme park trick to give yourself an award that doesn't exist. But I've heard mixed things about this park. It looks like it's a lot of fun. Apparently has some operational issues, so I'm excited to get there, but it's not the park I'm most excited for in Jersey or this trip.
This is one of those ones where, similar to Legoland, we're like, we're in
we
the
have
area,
a
why
day.
Not?
Yeah, we can get an extra review, and I think it's going to be, there's a lot of people have said a lot of things about this park, so I think it'll be good to get it in our style, our review style.
Many people have said words about this theme park.
Yeah, but like in the way that our reviews very much, here's what the park's for. I think a lot of people go into parks like Nickelodeon Universe expecting them, you know, they've got some big, thrilling attractions. And a lot of people seem to approach it only thinking about, I want big, thrilling attractions, and then walk out feeling disappointed. So we're going to, you know, just try to take a step back as a theme park enthusiast, look at it for what it is, where it is, stuff like that.
But we're here to taper expectations, baby.
But the park I'm excited for, even though I've heard mixed things again about this park, it is Six Flags Great Adventure, famous for having the world's tallest roller coaster.
Yes.
King Dakar.
I am just...
which I will be going on, and also the world's tallest drop ride, something scared tower, Zumanjaro. I don't know why I thought it was called something scared tower. Zumanjaro.
Sorry,
drop
I'm doing... I'm having to Google it to bring it. So the first thing that came up when I saw this is a place called Fat Burger. Interesting,
yeah,
but
that
so,
sounds like it'd be good though. Like it has a bad name, but I bet you the burgers there are really good.
And right next to Fat Burger is Granny's Country Fried Chicken.
Oh,
we are going.
Don't make
we're going to be
pick.
Coming back.
I'm going
like,
to come
round.
Out of there. The definition of Fat Burger, I can tell you.
Why? Look, since last year, I've lost close to 20 kilos. I don't know what that is in pounds.
About
it's you like times 40, it by
maybe?
Three?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, it'd be about 40.
I'm not sure what the conversion is. Around 40 pounds of weight. I'm expecting to just put that all back on in this trip.
Just at the Granny's Chicken next to the Fat Burger. Just did this one.
However,
part.
Good news. I have very good news for all of you holiday travelers out there. I did some research because I was very concerned about this. And apparently, even if you eat an insane amount of food,
which
the body is only capable of adding 0.5 kilos of fat every week. Apparently, it's like everything else it just purges and it's like, okay, I'll store this.
Mm. So what you're saying
there
is 2 weeks, let's just eat like rubbish, because we may as well Ogre's Cantina, Trader Sam's, Fat Burger, Granny's Fried Chicken, Mrs. Knott's Fried. We'll take the lot.
Let's go.
But yeah, Six Flags Great Adventure. I've only done one Six Flags park in my life, and I think you're the same, and I think it's the same
yes.
Six Flags park, which
Magic
is Magic
Mountain.
Mountain. I know of two rides in this park pretty much, which is King Dakar, the world's tallest coaster. If you're a coaster enthusiast who doesn't know of this ride, you're not a coaster enthusiast.
It's true.
And then the second is El Toro, which is the Intamin prefab wooden coaster that a lot of people say is the best wooden coaster in the world. So I'm excited to ride that as well.
Interesting. Like,
it's just, from what I've heard, it's a bit of an airtime machine. It's got a lot of speed and it tries to throw you out of the train.
I didn't even know, like, to put it into perspective, I know that King Dakar exists. I know that Zumanjaro exists and El Toro and all of that. I didn't know that it was at this park. I didn't realize I was going to where these were. I had this idea of what Great Adventure was, but I think I had it mixed up with Great America.
Yeah, which and is some of their parks have very silly names that are too close to each other. I think this park also has an RMC single rail, doesn't it? Jersey Devil? It has a word. I think it's at this park, which will be our first single rail RMC. We have done the Intamin single rail, so it'll be interesting to compare those two.
There's so many interesting attractions here.
I'm excited to not know too much about this park, even though I know it's going to be a Six Flags sick tummy Mr. Luke Carroll special where it'll get to about 5 p.m. and I'll be like, no more rides, because it always happens at a Six Flags park. But this is a weird one that I don't know too much about, and I'm excited for that. Is it animals at this park, or is that a different Six Flags park?
I don't think so. I'm looking around and I can't see any, but usually they don't show up on Google Maps.
However, through safari experience.
What?
But it takes 3 hours.
What?
What?
Oh, wait, is this one of those ones where it's like...
It must be that puddle to the side. Oh, gee. Okay, we probably won't have time to do that. What a shame.
No. Okay, but interesting. I don't... Like, in saying that, we know so little about these. I think the single rail that you're talking about, the single rail is Wonder Woman. Lasso of Truth is a pendulum ride.
Oh, okay. They also have a ride called Wonder Woman Golden Lasso or something like that, which is their single rail, which has almost the same layout as the single rail at Great Adventure. Because are you confused? Because Six Flags sounds confused.
What I like keeping my eye out at parks like this, I love looking for attractions that you just don't find anymore. Mm. Like the Legoland Steeplechase. I've never done a steeplechase, but I know so much about them because of games like Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Is that the weird, the horse that's on, like, the single rail? Yeah, so there was one of those in Dollywood. That's the first one I've ever gone on.
I need to do things like that.
It was the longest
wait
of our whole trip at about 10 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. Everyone likes... Wait, I know this park. What? I know this park because it's got a big skull ride... And that was in Roller Coaster Tycoon 2.
Oh, that's how I know some of the Six Flags parks, just from the Roller Coaster Tycoon versions. Oh, well, that sounds
exciting.
Okay, I'm
going to be whipping it open. They're like wildly out of date, but they're cool. So I vaguely know of this park. Also, one thing that does not give me hope is the fact that there are two rides that are in the car park. And car park coasters are very interesting for me. Oh, no, three. King Dakar is technically in the car park as well. King Dakar Park. Ooh.
Also, this park has a season pass for $70. So I don't know if that touches to temper expectations. But it's a literal season pass. It only gets you in summer. A one-day ticket... Oh, okay. We're in for a treat, I think. A one-day ticket to this park is $40.
Oh.
So,
okay.
We're in for it. It'll be an interesting one.
I'm
excited
ready.
For Let's... it. That's what kind of... I'm more excited, I think, for that in in Jersey than I am for what's-her-name. Do you agree? Would you agree?
Oh, look, the whole thing's going to be a wild ride. That's the thing I'm most interested for these parks.
I don't even think these are the two weirdest parks we're going to.
No. Should we go to the next one?
Which is in, we're going to Pennsylvania, which is the next state. Two parks in Pennsylvania. You could probably guess the other one, but the one that we're going to, which is probably the weirdest park in the trip, and I think we're literally going there for one reason, is Knoebels or
we
Nobles.
We can't pronounce
this. I don't
this.
Know how to pronounce it.
It's Knoebels or Knobblies
or Nobles.
This park also has amazing reviews.
Yeah.
It's 4.8 out of...
Do you know of more than one thing at this park? Because I only know of one thing at this park.
I know of the flying turns.
Turns.
Is that it?
Yeah. So that's the only thing I know about this park as well. Because it's a recreation of a classic, like, 100-year-old fairground amusement ride concept. And they built it in-house themselves.
That like, always turns out well.
Yeah, it apparently took them like 10 years or something crazy as well. So
they sell a DVD about it on their website.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We'll have to watch that as
before we
as
go.
A precursor. But yeah, that's the only thing I know about this park.
I know that this park is very highly regarded, as well as it's the last free theme park, I think, in the US.
Hmm.
Or like one of the last ones where you can just walk on in and then
see what you want to ride.
One attraction and leave.
Or the same where it's, you know, if you go with the grandparents who might want to ride, you know, one ride with their grandkids, but nothing else, you can do that here. It's not going to cost you $50 to $200.
It's very hard to gauge what this park has. I know that they have a website and that, but something I've realized, theme park websites are very unintuitive for people who don't go to theme parks. The amount of times, and this is something that I was trying to figure out, how do you avoid this? Like, if you're a theme park, how could you stop this problem? But when I was at the Gold Coast, like, the Gold Coast is not hard to figure out. Like, you've got Movie World, which only has, like, 5 major attractions. My family were they could not wrap their head around what was at each park, even Dreamworld. And they were like, oh, this ride's not there anymore. And that, I just feel like the way that theme parks put across their information is not intuitive.
Yeah.
I don't know how to fix that. I just know that that's a problem.
It's a thing.
I'm not sure. Do you get that as well, where people are like, oh, what's at this park? And it's like, I don't know. You have to go.
No.
Do you reckon that's intentional?
Yeah. Yeah, I think at times as well, sometimes you'll see, like, the website will be decent and give you, you know, it'll list every single attraction. But for some reason, some of the attractions' images are like a close-up of a kid's face with a smile. Yeah, it's just they put some weird pictures on there sometimes. It doesn't really tell you what the attraction is. Looking at Knoebels' website, they also have a whip ride. I've never been on a classic fairground whip, so that'll be interesting.
My favorite theme park attraction photo is when it's not even of the ride, it's a composite. So like Scooby-Doo at Movie World has no pictures of what the ride actually is. They have the ride vehicle and then Scooby looking scared and the demons.
Yeah.
And it's like...
This doesn't happen. That
doesn't sell the attraction.
Oh, I think we better cancel Nobles.
Why?
I went through the list I was going through and I'm like, oh, they got a train ride. They got a paratrooper. They got the pony ride. And then I got to I'm in the P's. What ride could it be starting with a P that we do not be a fan of at review time? Started P-O-W-E-R.
Oh, no, not a power surge.
Yep, a permanent power surge. sorry, Knoebels or whatever your name is. We ain't going anymore.
I think we vaguely talked about this on our Luna Park episode.
Yeah,
hate power surges. They are uncomfortable.
I've never felt so sick on a ride.
I know people who have also been like, oh, no, you're wrong. power surges are
good. I can ride it 1,000 times back to back. You're wrong.
I'm fairly certain at Chernobyl's or Nobles, someone out there is having an aneurysm for how we're saying this. Every time we say it so nonchalantly, there's a scenic skyway that I think just goes up the mountain and then comes back. That seems fun.
That does sound fun. I love the history of theme parks. It's why we kind of have a soft spot for Luna Park, even though deep down it's not that good. We got a soft spot for the history of theme parks and themed entertainment. And this seems like, you know, one of America's hold on to the heritage and keep it alive parks, which I'm excited. Moving from a park that holds on to the heritage to a park that is themed around chocolate for some reason. When we're in Pennsylvania, we're also going to Hershey Park, after the worst chocolate in the world and run by the company who makes the worst chocolate in the world.
Look, you know, when I think of theme park operator, I think of a chocolate company. In saying that, if Disney came out this year not having done theme parks and were like, yes, we're going to make theme parks now, I think they would equally get criticism for being like, but do you make movies and cartoons?
Yeah.
But the Hershey's park looks good.
I don't like the chocolate. It's trash. But the park looks good.
Hold up. This park is huge.
Yeah. I think
this park is gigantic.
Yeah, does this park have like a water park in the middle of the park?
It's got like a monorail.
Right, does it look like the... And maybe it is a separately ticketed thing, but looking at the map, there's like a wooden coaster over on one side, and then just outside the wooden coaster is a water park.
Oh yeah, there's like a wave pool and everything. Or is this one of those parks that it's just all integrated?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it could be. Which, it, again, shows you how little we know about some of these places that we're going to. Other than the fact that it's chocolate themed, that's all I know.
Some things look unbelievably far away. Like the wooden roller coaster at the back of the park, Lightning Racer, which looks huge. But I think that's because it's two different coasters.
Yeah, it's probably a dueling coaster.
That means this park has three wooden coasters.
Oh, I hope they're good and not wooden rattlers, or our brains will be left on the ground in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
But yeah, looking at this park from above, there's a lot of really interesting stuff. Looks like they have a monorail. It looks like they have a roller coaster that was designed by a kid in Roller Coaster Tycoon just to try and make it as big as possible. Storm Runner, because it goes across half the park. It literally looks like the border of a small country has just been plopped around. There's four wooden roller coasters.
Oh God, my brain's hurting just thinking about it. They've got a Vekoma boomerang that's themed to Jolly Ranchers that's opening this year. So I'm glad we'll be there for the opening of that. But it looks just like a good thrill theme park that for some reason has chocolate theme to it. Like none of these look like they need the chocolate theming to be good.
There is a ride called the Kissing Tower.
Uh-oh. Sorry, girls. Dom and me may have gone on the Kissing Tower.
My wife and your girlfriend, who aren't coming on this trip, beware if we tell them
we tell them there's a Kissing Tower, they won't let us go to Hershey's Chocolate World,
Do you think that our partners listen to this podcast, Luke?
Nope.
No. They think we're two big nerds that sit in a room and talk about theme parks for an hour every week.
They probably hear half. Like, you know, my partner, she's working from home today, so she's probably hearing just half of this conversation and being like, Kissing Tower? What is a Kissing Tower?
No, you have to cancel the trip. No Kissing Tower.
I won't allow it.
I can't wait for all the dumb photos that come out of us.
We're going to the Hershey's Kisses Tower. And we're going to get a photo out of the front.
Okay.
Also, I think connected to this park, but not quite connected, is Hershey's Chocolate World, which is like a, you know how they have like M&M World at all the tourist trap attract like type places? So yeah. They have one of those, but they have a dark ride that takes you through the factory in inverted commas. It's not the actual factory, but, and it's like a free dark ride outside
the
park.
Olympus.
Pretty much. So
interesting.
We'll have to try and get there a little bit early before the park opens and go and experience that as well. Hershey Park is the other park. We're in Pennsylvania. And then the last state of our trip is, I don't know what that state's called.
Virginia?
Virginia, yeah, that's it.
Did you see VI and you're like, what's VI? Victoria.
No, I just saw Richmond and I was like, that's in Melbourne. My brain would refuse to believe there was more than one.
There's a Richmond in Sydney as well.
Oh, yeah, that's what probably I'm thinking of.
Remember, this side of the country, from what I know, this side of the Americas, I think this is the British side. Or what was the British side? So there's lots of places that are very similar to the British side of Australia. Like once you get past all the places like Wagga Wagga, Woi Woi, and all that, you start to get things like Richmond. The one place that annoys me, and sorry for anyone that lives here, but why is it called Newport News? You've got new in there twice.
The airport? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. There's some weird stuff going on at this part of the world. But the other parks we're going to at this part will be, we're completing the Busch Gardens in one trip. There's only two parks. But we're doing the other Busch Gardens park, which is Busch Gardens Williamsburg. From what I've heard from a lot of people, this is a better themed Busch Gardens park.
This one looks really cool. Like, this is another one where I was like, this looks really lush
and
really nice.
It's in Europe, I think.
Yeah, it's not as big from what I can tell. Like, it doesn't have the safari and all of that, but it's still,
I think
it still looks like a spectacular
park, right?
Park.
Like, I don't think it has the animal part that Busch Gardens Tampa has. I didn't, or maybe it does. I'm not sure.
From what I can see.
So Busch Gardens Tampa is African themed, so it makes sense to have, you know, a savanna and stuff like that. Where this is, European themed. So I'm sure if they have animals, it'll be, I don't know, what's a European animal? What's a dragon? I don't know.
Well, it's probably better than mine. I was thinking of squirrels.
Squirrels. One of the most common animals in America.
They're in lots of other countries.
I would love this park just had a squirrel cage for some reason. Even though you could just see them probably walking around the park, they have a specific squirrel encounter experience.
The man who stands at the front of the park as you walk in, he's wearing a big tank top. It's all sweaty. He's got a really hairy chest. He's bald in a bit. He's just holding a squirrel in a cage. And he's like, yeah, here's your animals, boys. Come on in. Yeah, we got animals here.
I think the weird thing about this park is it has some rides that are quite similar to rides at Busch Gardens Tampa. So they also have a dive coaster. They also have, a B&M inverted coaster, those sort of things. So it'd be interesting to compare these two parks, doing them so close together as well.
Yeah. This park also looks like it has some incredible vistas. Like, if you look just through the park on Google Maps even, it is so lush.
Yeah.
It just looks incredible.
In the middle of the park. I always love a theme park with a, like, natural water source. And it's also next to a beer factory.
Yes! That was the original Busch.
Yep, Busch Gardens was, from what I understand, it was essentially started as, like, a gardens and playground for the families of Anheuser-Busch workers.
Oh, interesting.
Which expanded into this, and now it's not run by the Busch Company anymore, so it just kind of is next to a beer factory.
Yeah. The other attractions I'm noticing, I've only looked up a POV of Pantheon It just randomly came up on my Facebook one day. That ride looks insane. Like, it looks like it's legitimately trying to throw you out of the ride.
Yeah. Which, yeah, I know so little about that one as well, but I'm super excited. I've heard really good things about that park. And the lucky last part of the Review Time road trip is King's Dominion, which, again, I know very little about. I know of, I think, one ride at this park and one ride that used to exist in this park, and that's it.
This is a Cedar Park, isn't it?
Yes. So this is like our Cedar Fair park. No. This is one of two Cedar Fair parks we'll go to on this trip.
Oh.
We're going to Knott's.
What's the other one?
Knott's.
Oh, yeah, we are. I was going to say, because we're running on an hour, we'll probably cut the
California
the Disneyland. And
yeah. We'll just tell you where
we're
going.
You know what's a Disneyland.
Yeah. So. And, yeah, so last one, King's Dominion. I know of Intimidator 305 because I've heard of it. It's a ride with a 300-foot drop, so it's a giga coaster. And then I've heard of a ride that doesn't exist anymore, which was Volcano the Blast Coaster. Did you ever see that? So it was an Intamin Impulse coaster. So they essentially kind of, the old rides, it looked like a big U shape, but you'd hang below the track. There was one at Cedar Point. This was like the only one ever built that was a full circuit. So it had the same launch, but you would launch out of a volcano and then do the rest of the track.
Cool.
But unfortunately, that's not there anymore. So the fact that I know of two rides and one of them's closed will give you an idea of what I know. I'm excited for this because this used to be a Paramount park.
Yes.
And it was based on King's Island. So it has the, you know, the Eiffel Tower in the entrance street to give you some nice views of the park. There's a few holdovers that are still clearly were designed as Paramount IP rides and now are just generic rides, even though if you know what it was, it's pretty obvious sort of thing.
Yeah. This is the park that used to have the Lara Croft ride, wasn't it?
I think that was King's Island, wasn't it? The Tomb Raider
ride? Maybe.
One of the greatest rides in the world. That unfortunately just wasn't a thing. Wasn't it the only ever installation of that ride type too?
Yeah.
The ginormous Huss top spin, which is a shame. It's a loss.
Yeah. So I'm looking at this park and I'm trying to think like what I know and I don't know much.
Yeah.
I'm seeing Flight of Fear looks really cool. It's a completely indoor roller coaster. Dominator looks absolutely gigantic. It looks like there's a lot of stuff in this park that I don't know much about. What's Reptilian? That? It's a bobsled coaster.
Yes. A real bobsled coaster?
I think so.
I've never been on one.
King's Dominion.
Yeah, it is.
Reptilian.
Why is it orange? It used to, in the picture on Google, it's orange. Did it used to be themed in Nickelodeon or something at one point?
Maybe. I am so excited. I've never done one of these before.
Yeah, me neither.
It's like a single seat bobsled coaster.
Yeah, cool. And a lot of the parks we're going to as well, the good thing is a lot of these parks are the seasonal parks. So in theory, everything should be open. They also have a Chick-fil-A in the park. I think we're going on a Sunday, though. We might be going to this park on a Sunday, which would be fate. They also have a Windseeker, so we better take a change of pants that day.
But I think that sort of wraps that up.
The four parks we're doing on the California part, we'll talk about at some point. When we get back, is Disneyland, Disney California Adventure, Knott's Berry Farm, and Six Flags Magic Mountain. You will get a review
that we're doing Magic Mountain.
Yeah, you'll get a review from Six Flags Magic Mountain, as well as a re-review of Knott's Berry Farm, because our old review isn't something we're super proud of. It's a very early style of review. We've changed a lot since then. So we'll do another re-review. That's our only re-review on this entire trip. So 13 brand new theme park reviews. Only one we've done before. Get excited for it, hopefully, because we're super excited for it. It's coming up in July. it's going to fly before we get there. You know, to keep up with what we're doing is probably on our Twitter accounts. We'll do that. But one last thing. What are you most excited for? The one thing. It could be a park. It could be a ride. It could be anything.
Man, I'm just excited to get back overseas on a trip.
Go to a good park? Yeah.
The last theme park trips I've been on since 2019, I have been to the Gold Coast to visit Movie World and Dream World and SeaWorld about 5 times now. And I will tell you, yep, they're decent parks. I am over them. I need something different, man. I need my fix.
Fair. So for me, I don't even know where I'm excited to get to so many parks I've never been to before. Like, I've done a lot of parks. I'm super lucky in that regards. But, you know, over the last couple of years, I've just been going to the same parks. I haven't been to a new theme park apart from Dollywood since, like, 2018. So I'm excited to go somewhere new that I don't know that much about. And, of course, the real answer is Dom's full 2-hour podcast review of Poseidon's Fury when we get back.
Yes.
And we can finally do the episode of Poseidon's Fury that I've been promising for like the 2 years we've been doing this podcast. So it's coming.
But whoa. Hold up.
Uh-oh.
We got to cancel the trip, Luke.
Oh, because of the Kissy Tower?
No, not because of the Kissing Tower. Kissing Tower is fine. We need to cancel the trip because Six Flags Magic Mountain has a flying roller coaster, and that's not okay.
And it's like the most intense flying roller coaster in the world, and it's always closed every time I go. So you'll probably be waving from the sidewalk as I ride it because I'm getting that credit. I've been to that park twice. It's been closed both times. So I'm getting the credit. If you wave, I'll wave to you and you'll see my eyeballs getting sucked out of my head because it's meant to be that intense. But
look, I'll do it. You just might need to put my lungs and my liver back down my throat. Just like shove them back
stress.
Down.
It's not like that day we're also flying back to Sydney at 11 p.m. at night. Yes, we are. That will do it for this week's episode of Review Times Theme Park Cars. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another one. If you would like to follow us, follow our journey when we get to the US, you can follow me on Twitter at Review Time Luke.
I'm at Review Time Dom.
You can get us both at Time Review or at Review Time everywhere else. If you have any suggestions of stuff we must do when we're on our trip, something we didn't talk about that we're excited for, but we should be. Let us know. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. We're back to the regular scheduled program of once a fortnight for Review Time's theme podcast. So we will see you then. Bye.
Bye.
Review Time's theme podcast is brought to you by Luke Carroll and Dominic Lacey. A big shout out goes to our newest patron, Tiffany Balbuza, long-term Patreon, Norman Lacey, and to you, the listener. Review Time's theme podcast will be back in 2 weeks.